Welcome to One Hit Wonderful, the podcast where we're reviewing all those amazing reality shows that only had one season. I'm your host, Frank Pezzanite III.
And I'm Meredith Broadbeck.
And join us as we delve deeper into Princesses Long Island. Today, we're going to be discussing episode 2, Shabocalypse, which originally aired on June 9th, 2013. I'm sorry, Shabocalypse Now. Shabocalypse Now.
What was the date? Original air date?
June 9th, 2013.
Okay. Love it.
So it was filmed in 2013. I'm assuming summer of 2013.
2012.
I'm sorry, 2012. 2012. Yes, 2012.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
So are we getting a Princess Diaries today?
Yes. It's pretty short though, but I did do one.
So should we do house cleaning first or Princess Diary?
Let's do house cleaning first.
Okay. I have just a teeny tiny bit of house cleaning. So number one is on Instagram. We got some lovely comments. High Beams wrote in and said, I haven't watched this in ages and you're giving me a reason to rewatch. Thank you. Side note, I loved your old episodes about NYC prep. So good.
Yay.
So thank you so much. We love hearing that. And then in very shocking news, Amanda of Princesses Long Island fame commented on the post with just a skull emoji. So I think that she's dead.
I love it.
Over the fact that we're doing this. So I hope that I doubt she's listening, but on the off chance that she is, Amanda, I hope that you're enjoying this and know that it's all in fun. And we are very much enjoying watching you.
Yes.
Now, the other little bit of housekeeping I wanted to bring up, and I'm sure so many of our listeners already know about this. Meredith, I don't know if you do, because you're not as into the blogs and the Bravo stuff as I am. But starting on April 15th, Bravo is unlocking the vault on Peacock. Unfortunately, not releasing Princesses Long Island.
I heard that.
Okay. But is releasing, and I'm going to give you all the list. Blood, Sweat, and Heels, seasons 1 and 2. Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding, season 1. Don't Be Tardy, seasons 2 through 8. I Dream of Nene, the Wedding. Married to Medicine, LA, which I don't even remember. Million Dollar Decorators, don't remember that one either. NYC Prep, yay. The Rachel Zoe Project, seasons 1 through 5. I'm very excited about that.
That was
Candy's Wedding, Real Housewives of DC, which was one season. And it is something we could cover. The Real Housewives of Potomac, Karen's Grand Dame Reunion, which was horrible. Shaws of Sunset, all seasons. Tabitha Salon Takeover, seasons 1 through 3. Tabitha Takes Over, seasons 4 and 5. Thicker Than Water, seasons 1 through 3, which is another one I don't remember. Top Chef, Just Desserts.
Wow.
I'm kind of pissed they're not doing Princesses Long Island. Like, I think that's kind of bullshit. Or Gallery Girls, for that matter. But maybe this will lead to them releasing those later.
Yeah. Two shows, very exciting news. Two shows that should still exist, in my opinion.
Agreed. Hard agree.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty exciting news for all of us in the Bravoverse.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm wondering how many of those I could actually take. Like, I love Shaws of Sunset when it first came out, but now seeing like where it ended, and I think I had to bail with the season left. I don't know if I could handle a rewatch knowing like how bad they all fall apart, kind of.
Especially with the stuff about Mike that's come out recently. Like, did you see the video? It was bad.
No, what was that?
The video of him beating his girlfriend or
wife. No. I did not watch the video. I forgot about that.
It is bad. Like,
no, and like bad. The Reza and MJ of it all too is just really awful. And like in the first season, they were such besties and it was so fun. And then
they're back. They're besties again.
Oh, they are? Wow.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Okay. They reconcile by the end of the series. And they're friends to this day. Yeah.
Okay. It got dark there for a minute though.
Real dark.
Yeah.
So Mike and MJ, I mean, MJ and Reza, friends again. I don't think Gigi is friends with anybody. And I'm trying to remember who else was even on the dumb show. Although, I hope no one's friends with Mike.
Gigi is going to be on that new show with Patty Stanger and Nick Vial. Did you see that?
No.
I saw an ad for it on Peacock, and it's like a new matchmaker show. Patty's coming back to do it with Nick Vial as like her co-host, and Gigi's one of the clients.
Oh, interesting. I hate Patty Stanger so much, but I'll probably get sucked into watching it.
Yeah, I know.
Gross.
I'm not a Bachelor person, but I have a weird interest in Nick Vial. Like every once in a while, I like an episode of his podcast, depending who's on.
Oh, he gets good guests. I didn't realize he's from The Bachelor. He's from The Bachelor?
Yeah, he's a Bachelor person.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Not my wheelhouse. So anyway, Princess Diary, number one.
Okay.
We're never not profiling again after Secrets and Sisterhood. We made this mistake. I also wanted to give a quick hello to my friend Lauren, who saw our Instagram post, got so excited we're covering the show, and went home and bought Princesses Long Island so she can watch along, and is so happy we're covering this. She loves
it. Way to go. That's exciting news.
Yeah. So our first Princess Diary is Chanel Omari.
Oh, yay.
It's pretty short, but it's a happy one. You know, we'll bring it up. So Chanel earned her bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism and communications at Northeastern, and she graduated in 2006. So I was excited by that because that means that I'm the same age as a lot of these ladies, and it's explaining their fashion choices to me. It's coming back to the 2012 of it all and the colored jeans et al. So her parents, Donna and Sam, who we've met, when I Googled them, they share a LinkedIn profile, which is really cute. It kind of reminds me of how my in-laws share an Instagram profile. And they are listed as apparel and fashion professionals.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder if they sort of like ran like a textile business or something like that together.
Like garment district stuff?
Yeah.
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 I can see that.
That's kind of the vibe I took from it. I haven't found where some of these ladies went to high school, but I think I need a few more clues from throughout the episodes to figure it out. They all are from about 20 minutes apart from one another. Like I looked at their various towns, and there is a very like sort of prestigious Hebrew school in the area, and they have a 9-12 school. And I'm wondering if some of them went there because I think the school is, it's pretty big, actually. I don't know if that was total like K-12 or whether that was just 9-12, but I feel like some of them must have gone to high school together because.
Well, we know that Casey and Erica went to high school together.
Yeah. And I think Chanel and Erica went to high school together.
Yeah. And it seemed like Joey maybe might have gone to school with them. I don't know. I don't think Ashley did.
Joey's from the furthest away because she's South Shore. So she's about 40 minutes away.
Well, she still could, if it was a private school, she still could have gone to the private school.
True. So anyway, I'm going to keep digging for that, but I did find that she went to Northeastern. And for a long time, Chanel was actually a production assistant. That was her job.
Really?
Like, while she was on this show. So she was a production assistant on a lot of major national talk shows. So she was a PA on Maury Povich, Anderson Cooper, Bill Cunningham, and Katie Couric's show.
It's so interesting then that the narrative they're putting forth in the show is that she doesn't work.
I know.
I mean, that's a hard job.
Yeah, it is. That's a grunt job too.
So do you think that like someone in the TV world knew her, knew this show was being put on, said, hey, like you'd be great on the show. And she just took like a work sabbatical while filming.
Maybe. Or she may have been between jobs.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
But I think it's odd that she worked in the TV world and then ended up on a TV show. Like, that had to be a connection somehow. I don't think it's that's random.
Right. But this is not the only show Miss Chanel has been on.
What else has she been on?
So after Princesses, she was on another reality show called My Crazy Love, which was on Oxygen.
Okay.
Where she was sort of like profiled, I guess, because she pretended to be Tom Brady's hairdresser in order to snag a boyfriend, and it worked. So I guess the premise of the show was it was like young women who wanted to date so badly, they like made up a lie to snag a dude, and then they tried really hard to keep up the lie throughout the relationship. So
but
I don't
do
know.
Do we think that's true, or do we think that, because I mean, it's like a lot of those shows are made up. So do we think it's just like total bullshit?
I don't know, but I saw the profile about the show and Chanel was the one who claimed to be Tom Brady's hairdresser.
I love that. My Crazy Love. Here it is. TV series. Mm-hmm. It's one season. It says it's a comedy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think someone pretending to be an NFL quarterback's hairdresser is kind of funny.
But I mean, it doesn't say anything about it being reality.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't reality.
I mean, you can buy it on Amazon Prime, YouTube. I like may have to watch.
But she was real.
It's an anthology series, so yeah.
Yeah.
Does she just be one episode? I'm going to find her episode. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, here we go. That's weird. Does she have a different name? Because they list all, so the they list, every episode has a list of the people's names who I'm assuming are on it. And there's no Chanel.
Oh, interesting.
Tina and Adrian, Betsy and Mike, Noah and Beth, Wally and Katie, Aaron and Jeff, Leanne and Kara, Jasmine and Cheryl, Jenny and Alex, Andrea and Calvin. Oh, no, no, sorry, sorry. Episode 10, Chanel and Jessica.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to watch it before our next, let's see. Chanel pretends to be Tom Brady's hairdresser and ends up having a terrible hair, giving a terrible haircut to her football-obsessed crush. This is not real. This is not real. I'm going to watch it and report back next week. I'm I don't just believe saying. It's real.
I didn't watch it. I just
found that it existed. 8.1 rating.
Yeah, no, it's...
All right, I'm going to watch it. I might watch it tonight.
There you go. Happy Saturday to you.
Thank you.
So in 2020, it should also be said that Chanel now has a podcast called Chanel in the City. And in 2020, she partnered with Dina Lohan, another Long Island queen. Oh. And they did a podcast series together called Listen to Me, the OG Mama D.
Okay.
It only had 9 episodes, the last of which was released in December of 2020.
Okay.
But they had some sort of like low-hanging fruit type guests together. But I guess she's kind of a pal of Dina Lohan's. Yeah. And Chanel has had some like Bravo celebrities on her podcast and stuff like that. But now on her Instagram, Chanel is listed as an actress, a comedian. So she does some stand-up. And so she still hosts Chanel in the City, and it's on iHeartRadio.
Oh, cool. Good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah. Chanel also looks great. I don't know if you've looked at her Instagram.
I haven't.
She has shorter hair now. We're not wearing headbands. Our hair color is a bit more natural. She looks beautiful.
And well, I was going to say that even in this episode, and unfortunately I don't think I got a picture of it, that she, in the confessional towards the end when she's wearing, I think it's like red and her hair is pulled back.
Yeah.
She looks stunning.
Yeah, she looks.
She looks stunning.
Yeah, agreed. So then finally on her LinkedIn profile now, Chanel is listed as an associate producer at NBC Universal.
Good for her.
On top of all these other hustles of her podcast and doing stand-up, which is awesome. So she's basically been hustling since she graduated college and really has some impressive credits. So we love to see it. And Chanel is currently and proudly single.
Good for her.
Yep.
Wait, why? Well, she's very blonde.
There are some pictures
I'm seeing on her Instagram.
There are some pictures where she might be darker. Yeah.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yeah.
Looks fabulous.
Yeah. But it's shorter, right? The hair? Because on the show, it's very long.
Yeah, it is shorter. But it's still, I thought you meant like a bob short. It's just like a little below clavicle. But she looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I also had to try very hard not to like dig too much into the other Princess Diaries yet because it's going to ruin like what I remember of this show. Mm-hmm. But there was another person who really surprised me. Like based on what little we know of her at this point, I did not see it coming, but I will hold on to it until later.
In order to find their Instagrams, I had to go to a Reddit post. So yeah. I've seen some things and I have a guessing maybe who you're talking about, but we'll leave that for another time.
We're probably not talking about the same person.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. All right. So the episode begins and I wondered immediately who the narrator was. I couldn't tell like which Long Island accent was talking to us.
Amanda. Yeah, it was Amanda. And I was living for the voiceover.
Yeah. Also the theme song. Did we not get that in episode one?
We did not get that. We didn't get that episode one. And we also didn't get the opening. Like it was the cartoony thing, and I wrote down all of their little tagliney things. And it's
what
weird
are they?
Okay, so this is where it's weird. So first of all, you guys, they
and the theme song is fire.
The theme song is fire.
I meant to record it so we could play it. Maybe I will next episode.
I wonder. I don't think I'm smart enough to do this, but if I could figure out a way to record it and play it over top of the Instagram post, I will do that. But I don't know if I have enough brain power to do that. But we'll try. We'll try. I'm learning Instagram as I go.
Yeah.
Grandpapa. So you guys who haven't watched or aren't watching, in the beginning, they do a recap, except that Amanda does all of the recapping and then like does all of the voices karaoke style, like when they're speaking. It's really funny when they're speaking. So this is what we get in order of when they show them in the opening. Erica, hottest girl on Long Island. Ashley, daddy's girl. Casey just has a little sticker that says I with a crown on it, like a picture of a crown, and why. So not I heart New York, but I crown New York. I guess I'm queen of New York, maybe is what it's supposed to mean.
Okay.
Joey, it just says working girl. Chanel's doesn't say anything, but she has a big, she's showing her hand with a big drawn on diamond on her engagement finger. And then Amanda's just says North Shore.
Weird.
Yeah.
Didn't catch any of that. I was too busy jamming to the theme song.
Well, I didn't start to catch it till halfway through and I rewound it and, you know, was paying attention. But it's interesting that some of them had actual like written out things above them and others just got pictures and.
Yep. Okay. So we also start each episode, I'm assuming at this point, with like a Yiddish proverb that introduces the episode and it introduces our first scene. So the proverb of this episode is a slap in the face heals, but a harsh word is always remembered. I don't disagree.
Well, yes, it's very sticks and stones can break my bones.
Yeah. Yeah. So we open this episode and we are at Warehouse, W-E-A-R house.
Hicks, which sadly no longer exists.
It no longer exists. It was Warehouse Hicks Lane in Great Neck.
But.
And we have found that Babs, Amanda's mom, works in luxury retail. And I've never found something so fitting.
Oh, no, it's amazing. Oh, yeah. Shoot. I thought I screenshot it so I could talk about it, but I guess I didn't. Oh, wait, no, I did because it's not in the podcast. It's in the regular. I was absolutely cracking up. So when I
was
at Warehouse. I'm going to read you guys what it said, what their like Yelp
Bless
profile
you.
Please was.
Do.
Specialties. Our boutique is genuine and appealing in order for our shoppers to be comfortable and choose their perfect trendy outfit. Warehouse is here to provide shoppers with high-end luxury clothes that may not always be attainable. Appointments are suggested but not required. Warehouse is open to the public 6 days a week, Sunday to Friday. I love that... what does it mean, clothes that may not always be attainable? What does that sentence even mean?
Beyond your budget, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was giving me posh vibes.
Yes, 100%.
From Houseless of New Jersey.
Yes. And so there's all these like jokes between Amanda and Babs as they're looking at like all this Cavalli and stuff like that, that Babs is a cougar. And she's sort of laughing it off and saying, I'm not a cougar, but she is. You can tell.
100%.
And Amanda says that fashion is
so
everything.
Is Babs single? Did we establish that Babs is single?
We haven't yet. I don't know.
But we also haven't seen the dad.
No, we haven't seen the dad or a boyfriend or anything.
So I hope she is a cougar because she is giving it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm living for Babs. I live for Babs.
Me too. So Amanda says that fashion is everything on Long Island. And lucky for her, her mom works at the hottest store in Great Neck. And it looks like they're trying on dresses together, even though Babs is working a shift. And then they pose together as Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
And this dress that Amanda has tried on, this white dress, it's not entirely containing all of her assets. But, you know, that was also kind of the time. It's very like bandeau kind of. But then she is wearing, I think, the world's biggest statement necklace, also in white.
It's a breastplate. It is a full-on breastplate. That is not a necklace.
Huge.
It's a breastplate.
Yeah, it's huge. And so
I did
get like,
a picture of it. So that will be going on the Instagram. It
is
a
breastplate. If you're trying to show your body by wearing a bandage dress and your décolletage, which she has a lovely one, you have covered it. It's a lot of look.
I forgot how of the time statement necklaces were during this time period. And this show, we see a lot of them.
It's giving Stassi Schroeder season one. Like, oof.
I feel like we could have, like, I wish I could go back in time to that time period and we should have opened a store that just sold headbands and statement necklaces. We would be so wealthy right now.
I know someone who sold hair feathers and made a fortune.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I think she's younger than me and I think she's retired. Let's just process that. Okay.
I believe it.
So then Amanda is also sipping champagne as she tries on dresses, which, get it, girl. I love that.
And also, I was impressed in a champagne glass.
Yeah.
Like, not a flute. Usually when you see people, yeah, usually when you see people shopping, it's a flute. But I was impressed that it was a coupe.
Yep. So Joey shows up in our first pair of colored jeans of the episode.
I love color jeans.
I know. Some, they're like kind of making a comeback.
Good. I'm here for it.
Yeah. But just so all are aware at home, we are discussing the like jegging tight, bright colored version. I don't think they're coming back quite like that, but that's what we're dealing with across this episode big time. And Joey's our bright green. So there's that. So she'd never met Babs before. And like one of the first things she says is, oh my God, your mother is stunning. Agree.
Agreed. She's not wrong.
Not wrong. And she shows up obviously to talk about the pool party and where we left off in episode one, which was rough. And she doesn't do a great job of apologizing.
Thank you.
Yeah. She says that she had no idea what she was bringing to that party. And she kind of ducks around it. Like, she says that she doesn't condone what was said, but that she's not responsible for her friend. And Amanda, to her credit, says, but, you know, I'm the one that had to leave and not the girl who was causing all of the offense. And that felt wrong to me.
Also, again, we know shows are edited. I'm sure this party went on for hours and hours and hours. And to us, it looked like it was a 30-minute long party. But Joey keeps saying, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I was inside. And I'm like, what?
She keeps making excuses about how she...
But they made it look like we were watching it, that she was 2 feet away. So
yes.
What really was... I mean, I'm guessing maybe she actually wasn't there, because I think I would hope that Amanda would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're 5 feet from me. But I was under the impression watching that party that the whole party was outside.
Me too.
But Joey didn't know the order. She's like, what happened first? The drink throwing or the words or whatever. So, I mean, I guess she wasn't there. So I'll give her a little bit of a pass, because she didn't see what a monster her friend was being. But still, you bring someone to a party, they act a fool. They're your responsibility.
Yeah. She brings it back a little bit when she says, I don't condone what was said and I want you to know I'm on your side. It's not great. But she does a little bit better. And then they have a cheers and they decide they're going to leave it behind them and they don't want to give the incident any more attention.
It was, in my book, it was like just one step above in the apology ladder from, I'm sorry you felt that way.
Yeah.
Like just one step above that.
Yeah. It's not great. I appreciate that she went out of her way and went to the store and met up with Amanda and tried to address it. But at the same time, like it was not ideal.
No.
And then we go to Ashley's house. Chanel arrives. And my very first note is that, ooh, Chanel's dressed for the club. They're going to the club.
They're going to a club. Yeah.
And we have our second colored jeans of the episode. Ashley's wearing bright blue jeans and a black top. And this is our first viewing of Ashley's house. Do you have any... There's a lot of leather in this house.
I have a lot of thoughts about Ashley's house.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, and I mean, I was going to talk about this later, but we can talk about it now. They don't really ever give us a wide shot of the house at all. Like we see the door, we see a little bit, but you do see the other houses in the neighborhood. And I feel like she's just flat out middle class. Like Erica's house is way bigger and nicer.
It's wasn't Erica's house.
Yeah. But I wouldn't even call it a McMansion. It's just like a single family home. Like just, I mean, on a little bit on the bigger side, but like nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
Now the decor, however, was fully giving 80s Coke dealer.
Yes. It was very Scarface.
Yeah. I got a picture of it. Like everything was like silver and shiny and black and leather. And it was very like mid to late 80s decor.
I was waiting for like a neon fish tank in the back.
100%. It would fit right in.
It was wild. It's a wild looking house. Also, we meet Ashley's mom, Eileen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and say,
I thought it was Irene. It's Irene.
I have I-L-E-N-E.
Oh, I have I-R-E-N-E.
Well, I guess we'll find out another episode.
Eventually.
I'm going to go ahead and say that she's a bit of a treasure based solely on her eyewear.
Yeah.
How can we describe these glasses? So they almost look like what you would wear to go skydiving. Like they're full on glass, like, but the glass goes over the bridge of her nose and the frames are red.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved her just for that.
I loved her, but seeing both her and the dad, I think we can both agree that they were very late in life parents.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because Ashley's the oldest, right? The other sister's younger.
I got that impression. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ashley's going to be 30. I mean, they must have had her in their late 30s or even when she was 40. I mean, the parents are definitely giving me late 60s, early 70s age vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that.
Yeah.
But we find out that Chanel and Ashley are going into the city and they're going to meet up with Chanel's friend Casey, who is a guy magnet, apparently. And Ashley's dad pours them a drink. Was that Red Bull vodka?
Oh, I didn't notice.
It looked like apple cider in a wine glass filled to the brim. That's the color of it.
Oh,
well, so I was thinking 2012.
But Red Bull is like electric yellow.
But it like diluted and in this weird house. And I think the wine glasses were colored. And they also, it can't be wine because they said it's his first attempt at being a bartender or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I was wondering. It looked gross. That's why I'm assuming it was Red Bull vodka. But Chanel makes some jokes with Ashley's parents about how she's going to find Ashley a date. And the mother says, no, a husband. And Chanel says, what's your ideal for Ashley at this point? And her mom says, anything. Savage. And then the dad makes a joke about, you got to find someone to take her off my payroll. She's about to be 30. And Ashley doesn't ever want to leave the payroll. And then she talks about in front of her parents about how her ideal man is 48 years old, but he's not old or wrinkly.
Well, no, she said that's her upper limit. That's her upper age limit is 48. She wants an older man and 48 is as old as she will go.
Yeah. And then she asks her dad to fetch her a hairbrush from her bathroom.
Yep.
And she tells him it's like the top drawer on the right side. And he comes out into the hallway and holds up 4 brushes and asks for her preference.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Again, to me, all of this seems performative. The being carried out of the nail salon, the dad fetching me a brush. Like, I feel like all of this is, we are going to overplay this princess thing to the hilt. Because I refuse to believe that on a daily basis, he's doing me. I mean, I'm sure he worked in an office at some point or out of the house, like who was doing things for her then? Because her mom doesn't seem like she's chop, chop, run to do those things for her.
I don't know. When she calls her mom later, I don't know. We'll get to that.
But she was just calling to her mom to complain. She wasn't.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. But then the ladies go to New York and we go to Hudson Terrace.
Where we've been before.
We have.
Oh, yes. We went there in High Society.
Oh, I bet we did.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Yep. Got it. So they immediately start looking for single men. And Chanel is just, she's all biz, right? Like she's there to meet dudes. She's talking to people about how to meet dudes. And I cackled because they find out it's gay night.
I screamed. I laughed so hard. I was absolutely dying. Like this was genius.
It is, they look around and literally every man is dancing with another man. It is so funny. And then Ashley says they're at a penis party. And then Chanel, bless her, she looks on the bright side and she goes, maybe they have brothers.
Well, also they never tell us. So the person that informs them that it's gay night, they never tell us if she's a friend of theirs as well, or just some random woman that they started talking to at gay night. But she seems to be in their party for the rest of the evening. She's like hanging out with them. Yeah. So I thought it was weird that we didn't get like a title card or something for her.
Yeah.
Also, I'm very confused about the timeline because when they were at Ashley's, it was 4:00. There was a giant clock on the wall.
Okay.
It is summer. It does not get dark until like 8:00. And you don't go to a club at 8:00. So where were they between getting in the car at Ashley's around 4 and getting to this club at, I'm assuming, at least 10 p.m. I mean, it's New York. Like, even 10 is early to go to a club.
Dinner?
I guess. But they didn't show us. But, like, I kind of wanted to see, like, what transpired between the two.
Yeah, good point. They're looking for Casey, and then Casey arrives. And just to describe Casey a little bit, she's a pretty blonde. She's wearing a black dress. She's carrying a big leather, turquoise leather bag with like the bamboo handle. And I Googled it and it was Gucci. Pretty sure. And we see our handbag queen from episode 1, Joey, carrying the same bag in a different color later in the same episode.
Oh.
I was proud.
I think Casey is a stunner.
She is. She is a victim of 2012 makeup, but she's not the only one.
Yeah, I think she's a stunner.
She's very, very pretty. She just has bright blonde hair and sort of fairer skin. And she loves the black eyeliner just a wee too much. Like, she's making her eyes look a little small, but it was of the time. She looks fire. Don't get me wrong.
And she's young. She's only 27. So she is closer in age to Amanda than the rest of them. Because all the rest of them are 29. She's 27 and Amanda's what, 26?
Yes. Yeah. So we find out she grew up on Long Island, but she's a city girl and she knows a lot of Chanel's friends, but she doesn't hang out with them that much because she's not on Long Island anymore. And she admits that she's just not impressed or obsessed with Long Island the way that some people are, and that she finds it full of one-uppers. And she says friendship, family, loyalty, love, art, and life are all things that matter to her, but not red bottoms. Okay. Enter with a splash, Casey.
Which is interesting to me because let's just drop this now. We find out later that she works as a cocktail waitress at One Oak.
Yeah.
And I feel like that lifestyle and Gucci bags do care very much about red bottoms.
Yes, I would think
so. In Manhattan. Like, I feel like a lot of people in Manhattan care a lot about those things. So it was interesting to me that she would equate it with that.
Yeah, I know. So the girls are having a great time. They're dancing on tables. Ashley and Casey get along really well, but Casey has to leave, which I found a little weird because she was supposed to be just like partying with them and getting to know them. I wonder if she had to go to work.
Oh, maybe. I mean, do you think this party was that early? I mean, the gays don't like to go out early.
I don't know.
Unless, okay, devil's advocate time here. They never tell us what day it is, correct?
No.
All right. So if it was Sunday, it could have been a tea dance, which usually goes from like 4 to 11. That's possible. So yes, maybe they were there at 8 o'clock and maybe she did have to bounce to get to One Oak by like 10 or something.
It wouldn't surprise me either because they had like a little roped off area, which makes sense for filming.
Yeah.
But maybe that was easier to get on a Sunday afternoon than like a Saturday night.
But also, why wouldn't they just go with her to One Oak, where they're all hot, rich guys? Like, that's dumb.
I don't know.
You're going to work. I'm going with you.
Does One Oak allow filming?
Well, but the filming stopped there. Like, they could have been like they should go to One Oak. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So we see...
One Oak does allow filming because, what show were we watching where they were filming at One Oak in the Hamptons?
One that we covered or one that you and I both watch?
It could be either one. My memory sucks. Anyway, there is a reality show that filmed at One Oak. Not Serving the Hamptons. It's all coming back to me now. I'm fully Celine Dion. It was Courtney and Kim Courtney and Khloe. One of the Kardashians when they had the Hampton show.
Okay.
When they had the tour of the Hamptons, they went to One Oak and like Disick was there and they filmed the whole deal. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So as Ashley and Chanel are standing outside to leave Hudson Terrace, Chanel discloses that Casey and Erica actually know each other. And that 10 years ago, but probably we found out Casey's 26, right?
She's 27. So I think it's okay, actually 12 years ago.
Yeah. 10 plus. Erica stole Casey's boyfriend. And Chanel does not look sober when she says this. And she says it was the first love. He was the first love of her life. Sure. Got it. But also a teenage love.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that basically she's laying the scene for the fact that Casey doesn't like Erica whatsoever. And we'll come back to that several
yes,
times.
Yes, we will.
And then we go to El Baco, and still open.
In Little Neck?
Little Neck, Queens.
No, wrong.
What?
There's two El Bacos. So there is an El Baco in Queens, but that is not the correct one. The El Baco they went to is the one that's on Little Neck, Long Island, not in Queens. Their facades are totally different. I looked it up. Oh. So they're two entirely different restaurants.
Oh, okay. Maybe I listed my note says Little Neck, comma, Queens. So I just read it wrong.
Well, no, if you pull it up, if you put in El Baco, the first thing that comes up is the one in Queens. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I'm surprised to be in Queens, whatever. And then on Google, someone had posted pictures. And so one of the pictures was a facade of that one. And I looked it up and I'm like, oh, that is not the right one at all.
No. Uh-uh.
So then I kept Googling and there is one in Little Neck. And that is the one that they're at.
Yeah. It's very close to like the center of Great Neck too, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So this scene is just a little like, meh. They find out Amanda's a regular at this restaurant. We meet their waiter Sandro and he's taking drink orders and Rob makes a Manischewitz joke. Really? On Long Island? Are we doing that? Isn't he the only non-Jew at the table too?
Oh, is he not Jewish?
I don't know. Maybe he is, but I was just kind of like, really?
I think it was the more A, Erica does love Manischewitz and B, she's a drunk.
Well, yeah.
Like, maybe. I think it was more like making fun of her drinking.
I guess so. But she's a Grigio girl, which at this age I also was. We also get to hear the server list all of the specials. We don't need that. You can put that on the cutting room floor. Don't know why that made the episode. Amanda brings up a news story she read about or heard about octopus eggs and how some woman was like, there was like birthing octopi in her mouth or something.
I am so tired of hearing that story. First of all, I don't think it's real. I think it's an old wives' tale. It's been passed around for 1,000 times. I've heard it like, and it's not even just with octopus. I've heard it with all kinds of different sushi dishes, like whatever. Like, I don't buy it.
Yeah, whatever. So they all toast to love and friendship and no drink throwing. And then they start asking Jeff and Amanda how they met. And Erica says, if I'd seen Rob on the train, I would have asked him to go to the bathroom right now. I'm a pervert. Which
is very interesting because
that's
she
not
is also
how she's talked about him at all.
Exactly. Like she said that she's known him since high school. He was not someone she ever would have hit on back then. He's not normally her type. So no, that would not have happened.
No. It's really weird.
And can we talk about, speaking of really weird, Kramer and how he and Amanda met? Like, it's creepy.
It's really creepy. So let's discuss it. We find out how Jeff and Amanda met. We know they met on the Long Island Railroad. Jeff spotted her on the platform and basically stalked her for 2 weeks.
And these are his words, not ours.
Yeah,
his words.
He went out to buy new clothes to get her attention. And then one day on the train, he literally sat right across from her and asked about like her new iPhone to have conversation with her.
And she complimented his clothes.
She did. And then she said she went to the bathroom and thanked God immediately.
Yes.
Sure. So then Erica explains that she decided to date Rob after a while because he was like the friend that she talked to about her other dates. It does not come out romantic or sweet at all. Erica and Rob don't do it.
I think what she was trying to say was, oh, I had this guy in my life that I thought of like a best friend and realized, wait a minute, instead of dating all these other guys, like I should be dating this guy that I have chemistry with and like is my friend. But
yeah,
it did not come out that way at all.
No. And then we find out that Chanel is planning a big Hamptons weekend and she's going to be doing a Shabbat dinner party. And I'm sure it's Erica who says Chanel is the super Jew.
It was Erica. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like something Amanda would say. And Erica says she's excited to go, but she'll miss her love, meaning Rob.
Well, and I don't understand why Jeff can come, but Rob can't.
Yeah.
So
then we find out Jeff is going to the Hamptons too, but he and Amanda are getting a hotel room.
So I don't understand why Rob can't come and he and Erica can get a hotel. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, me either. But Amanda says, an estrogen-filled house versus testosterone-filled Jeff. No brainer. Bleh.
Yeah, bleh is right. Also, I want to know what happened to the clothes Jeff bought to impress her? Because he's obviously burned them or something between now and then, because I'm not impressed with anything I've seen him wearing. So, I mean, not even for the times. Like, he's not even, like, wearing the clothes of the times and looking, like, super hip or anything. So I don't get it.
No, I don't know. So then we meet Casey, like, again, properly at her house. And Chanel shows up, and Casey is going through all of her high school art just randomly on camera. And this is where we find out she's a waitress at One Oak. But she's really an artist, and she wants to start showing her work someday. And I will say, she was giving me a slight Liz from Gallery Girls vibe with her look. Oh,
thank you. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. She doesn't have Liz's budget. And she doesn't have Liz's, like, kind of hardcore energy, but they're on a similar playing field.
Agreed. I also was very impressed by the arcade that she has in her basement.
I need to discuss this house. Okay. Also, this room that she is going through this pile of artwork in, it seems like her mom gave her a space to do her art in high school. And so, like,
that was not a bedroom.
No. Did you happen to see the built-in drawers behind her?
No.
So there was, like, a countertop and, like, some cupboards built into the wall in this room, and they were pink. They were, like, ombre pink.
Oh, no, I didn't notice.
Yeah, it looked like a Barbie room filled with paper art.
Oh, well, maybe that's what it is.
Fascinating. So Chanel comes over to, like, you know, just chat about this weekend, and she brings up the, quote, whole Erica thing. And we find out that Casey had already bought a prom dress and was prepared to go to prom with her boyfriend at the time. I believe his name, do we learn his name?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no. And she sort of says that going to this thing this weekend with the girls will put her in a bad place. Like, she doesn't really want to be around Erica. And Chanel, she showed up without a headband on, and she looks so much cuter.
Oh, 1,000%.
A random aside. So Casey admits that she's seen Erica many times since all this happened, like, over a decade ago. And she comes into One Oak, but she doesn't have to deal with her there. She sort of just, like, skirts around her.
I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't get, like, she's playing this all wrong. So when I used to work at clubs, or even, like, be very good friends with people that owned clubs, you handle this two ways. If it's someone that doesn't make flames shoot out the side of your head, you just hang out at the VIP and look down on them. If it's someone that makes flames shoot outside of your head, which is what Erica does, you have her thrown out.
Yeah.
You have her thrown the fuck out. Like, she doesn't come to your place of business and get to run around and whatever the fuck. You have her. You have the power. One Oak, even now, is one of the most popular clubs in New York. You have her thrown the fuck out and never let back in. She's not using her power properly.
No. But she admits she's a little scared to see her. Like, she knows it's triggering for her, and she's scared to see her. But then we go to Erica's house, and Joey...
Oh, no. I have more to say about this.
Okay, go.
I am very confused about two things. Number one, the timeline of all of this. Because Casey is 2 years younger than Erica.
Yeah.
So was Casey a sophomore when this happens and going to prom with a senior guy, and Erica was the senior? I'm guessing, like, that has to be it.
That's
because
what
it'd be extra gross if Erica was going to prom with someone after she was done with high school. And then this narrative that they all keep saying that Erica is so pretty. Erica was the prettiest girl on Long Island. Now, in pictures from when she was younger, yes, she was a gorgeous young lady. I haven't seen pictures from Casey when she was younger. I think Casey is stunning.
Yeah.
The booze and the smoking have not been kind to Erica.
No.
She is no longer the hottest girl on Long Island.
No.
And I would arguably say that she is probably one of the least attractive women on this cast, for me, personally. Okay. And again, I am a hag beast, so, like, I would be the least attractive person on any TV show. But I just don't, it's funny to me that this narrative is sticking 10 years later, because I'm like, I don't, all of you are far and above Erica.
What I think they mean by hottest is not just about looks, right? Erica was just that girl in high school. Like, she had the money. She probably had a nice car. She had tons of friends. She had boyfriends. And she was very pretty. But when they say hottest girl in school, it's like a full package deal. It's not just about how she looks.
Oh, no. I fully understand that. But I'm saying now they're still acting like she's this ha-cha-cha woman who can get any man who comes along.
And that's
and
not
I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think that either. I mean, we've seen her boyfriend and she's living with her mom and dad. So I don't understand the aspiration sticking now. But
now when we get to her house, one of the first things we see is her bat mitzvah picture.
Yeah.
And I did take a picture of it and she is gorgeous in it.
Yeah, she was very
gorgeous.
Pretty.
I mean, she was very pretty when she was younger. I just don't think it's stuck.
Yeah, no. I mean, she's living life hard at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we go to Erica's house and Joey is there and they're drinking some wine. And Joey says in her confessional, Erica and I are so different. She's silver spoon and I'm kind of one of those white plastic forks. I thought it was funny. So Joey says that even she knew about Erica Gimble on the South Shore. Like, Erica Gimble was just it, apparently. So, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not seeing it now, but I guess...
I mean, again, every picture they show of her from high school, she's a stunning young lady. Like, yeah. I get it then, but I don't... I refuse to believe that Casey... I mean, unless Casey had a major glow-up since high school, she's gorgeous. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. And this is where we hear about the Casey boyfriend story from Erica's perspective. Also, Erica's makeup in this scene is so bad.
Yeah.
She looks particularly bad in this scene. She's so tan and she's wearing sort of like a brighter green eye. It looks very odd and it's not, she's so much prettier than that. But Erica says that she stole Dave. There we go. We do learn his name.
Oh, Dave. Okay.
So she says that she was friends with Dave, but not Casey. And she knows that Casey already had a prom dress. But that, like, Erica basically says, if I want something, I have to have it. And that's how she was with Dave. Like, she honed in on him, and that was it. And this is my second biggest. I don't know if this made me LOL more or less than the gay night at the club, but this was pretty good. When Joey says, well, on that, you know, on that note, I have a secret to share with you, Erica. And she says, you also slept with my boyfriend.
Right? What the fuck?
And so how long
have they been friends that it's just now coming? I mean, haven't they been friends for years?
I don't know. So Erica also slept with Joey's high school boyfriend, Greg. And Joey says, it was 10 years ago. I couldn't care less now. And I didn't want to mess up our flow. And I think maybe they're just becoming friends. Maybe that's part of it. And she didn't want to bring it up. And then Joey says, but it gets better. I always thought he lost his virginity to me, but he didn't. He lost it to you. And Erica is like laughing, but mortified. And she says like, oh my God, I'm a boyfriend stealer.
Yeah, you are.
She is.
You are.
Yep. And Joey says the rule in high school is that you don't leave your boyfriend around Erica. And it's still the rule now. Don't leave your boyfriend around Erica.
Well, the other thing that's extra fucked up about that, it means that Joey and the guy were dating for a while. He slept with Erica and then
went back.
Joey were continually dating and then he slept with Joey. Like, ugh.
Ick.
Gross. Gross on him, gross on Erica, gross on everybody. Yeah. I mean, I guess not gross on Erica if Erica didn't know he was her boyfriend. She did make it seem like that was a surprise to her. Maybe she thought he was single, so I'm not going to blame her for that if he lied to her. That's not Erica's fault, but...
Yeah. And then Erica also says she doesn't think Casey has hard feelings, which, oh girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the perfect segue to hearing all about Casey's hard feelings about this at home with her mother, Fran.
Yeah.
So she is still really dreading seeing Erica, and this is where she talks about seeing her at One Oak and all that sort of stuff. And this made me kind of sad for Casey. If only because there's something deeper than just Erica stealing her boyfriend. We find out there's a lot packed into it for her, at least at that time when she was like 16 or 17. So she tells the, you know, viewers that her parents divorced when she was 2 and that her dad left her mom for another woman. And now she really has no relationship with her dad to speak of. And so, you know, losing her boyfriend, which I'm assuming... When they say love of her life, I assume this was like a longer term high school boyfriend.
If like, I it had didn't to sound... venture a guess, it was probably her first long-term boyfriend and probably who she lost her virginity to.
Right. That's how I took it too. Like, this wasn't someone she was dating for a month or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at the time when he left her for Erica, it just like, it clearly brought up all this stuff about her dad and like wondering if she was destined to sort of live like her mom. And like, she's very emotional talking about it. And it is sad. But if she still has this big of a reaction around Erica, she should never be around Erica.
Oh, agreed. 1,000%. And I think she's in the right. Like, I am 100% team Casey on this. So Erica said something that like triggered the fuck out of me when they were having this conversation. And I hate when people do this. I hate when people who are 1,000% in the wrong after some time has passed uses the phrase, they should just get over it. It was a long time ago. Well, fuck you. It was a long time ago for you and you can get over it because no one did anything shitty to you. I mean, right. I had a roommate, a good friend and a roommate in my 20s. It has now been 25 years. He banged every guy I ever fucking liked. I hate him to this day. I refuse to be around him to this day. And it has been 25 years. And years ago, I guess it was 10 years ago now, there was a reunion of the nightclub that we all hung out at. And he had the audacity to show up and try to talk to me. And I went apoplectic.
Yeah.
And I called him a bucktooth witch and told him to get the fuck away from me. And I wanted nothing to do with him. And I did it in front of all of our, and I will never forgive him ever because he's a monster and he has no remorse. And Erica is a monster who has no remorse. She has not said, I feel bad about what I did. I wish I could help her get up. No. It's I did nothing wrong. Whatever. Fuck her. She should get over it. Well, fuck you, Erica.
Yeah. Nah. And Casey, I think she admits it just brought up all these trust issues she didn't know she had because of her dad. And then this happened to her. And she it clearly like it took her by surprise. It caused her a lot of pain. She didn't see it coming at all. And I guarantee this went down in a horrible high school manner. She clearly she had a prom dress in the closet. We hear about it several times. And I bet this asshole dude was kind of like, sorry, I'm taking Erica Gimbel. I'm in love with her now. And just like
which
hung up the phone.
Which also means that it was last minute. Like, you don't buy a prom dress months in advance. Like, this all happened. I mean, it's just gross all around.
Yeah.
And Casey is blameless, in my opinion.
Yeah. I also have a high school nemesis. I have seen her since. I will be around her in a group setting. I have been. There were, you know, parties and things that she was at. But if someone asked me, like, hey, I'm having a girls' weekend and she's going to be there, I would never go.
No.
Absolutely not. There were just way too many tears shed over one person. And yeah, I'm of a certain age now where I feel like I would be okay around her, but I just wouldn't want to do it. I just wouldn't want to. No, thank you. So then Chanel goes back to Ashley's.
With her dad.
With her dad.
Sam.
To pick her up for the girls' weekend. All of the parents are there. Like, they're getting picked up for summer camp.
Well, but it's just Sam and then Ashley's parents.
It doesn't make it less embarrassing, Frank.
No, it is mortifying, but it's not.
They
all the
are
parents.
Almost
it's just their
30.
Two parents.
They are almost 30.
Oh, I'm not excusing the behavior. I just didn't want our listeners who aren't watching to think that all the girls and all their parents were there. It is just Chanel and Ashley.
It's too many parents for me, and I stand by what I said.
Agreed.
And we see Amber, Ashley's sister, and she's very cute.
She's very cute. Yeah, very cute.
Yeah. So this weekend is all about the guys. Apparently we're going to be meeting tons of dudes sitting at home, having a Shabbat dinner. So Chanel makes a joke with Ashley's parents that she won't bring Ashley back until she has a guy. And they say there's no better place to find a guy than the Hamptons. We see lots of Louis Vuitton duffel bags as the party bus arrives. And Ashley says, it's a big deal when I decide to go away without my parents.
Yeah.
The parents wave them off as they get into this party bus.
Which, by the way, says party ride all over it.
Love it. And Chanel cries.
Yeah.
2 days, 48 hours.
Yeah. I cried when I saw Ashley's luggage.
Yeah.
First of all, I hate when people...
Which her dad put on the bus for her, by the way. We forgot to talk about that.
Did put on the bus. Well, because it was her two Vuitton duffel bags and then like a Louis Vuitton shopping bag that we find out later had sheets in it. But I do not understand people who prioritize labels over function. So why, if you're like supposed to be this dainty little girl who can't do shit for yourself, why wouldn't you bring a roller bag? Like, why would you bring duffel bags that are heavy and hard to carry and hard to maneuver? It does, just so you can have LVs all over it. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, but that's the vibe.
Yeah, I know.
It's a whole vibe.
I know.
So then the party bus picks up Erica and Joey at Erica's. And this is where I noticed Joey's handbag was the same one that Casey had at the club, but it's in like a tan beige color. Lots of kisses are exchanged. Erica immediately rides the pole. They're drinking Pinot Grigio.
Also, for someone who claims to be such a big raging hornbag, she's not good at pole dancing.
No, she's not. She also seemed like she'd been hitting the Grigio before the bus arrived.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So they all cheers for the amazing weekend they're going to have. And then Erica talks about how she brought every single magazine. She lists them off.
She listed one that I had never heard of. She said Glamour. And then I can't remember what the second one was. And I didn't bother to rewind it, but it was some weird name of a magazine I'd never heard of in my life.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I didn't write them down either. And then does she also say, who says they brought 50 Shades of Grey?
It wasn't Erica. It was...
Must have been Chanel? Joey. Chanel or Joey. Because somebody else says, oh, it's so amazing. And then Erica says, well, it'll just make me want to masturbate. And then everybody's sort of taken aback by her saying this horrible, dirty word. And she says, it's very healthy. I learned on the shower head. Ashley says, ew. And that joke you said about Jell-O in episode 1 has never been more true.
Yeah.
Ew, really?
Turns fuchsia.
Yeah.
She's mortified about this discussion.
She is weeks away from being 30. And she can't even hear the word masturbate?
No.
Oh, man. So then again, there's a reference to Erica pouring heavy on the wine.
And I don't usually like to defend Erica, at least in these two episodes. She's not my favorite. But I will say, and I've said this before, that I prefer if someone just gives me a big full glass of wine instead of me having to like refill it 3 times.
Also, let's be real. We're on a party bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then also Joey's the one who gives her a hard time and then says in the confessional, like, if I was going to see Casey right now and was nervous, I'd probably have a full bottle of wine too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then Erica says like, she doesn't want there to be any confrontation, but I'm going to be in my 30s soon and I'm not apologizing for shit I did in high school. Okay.
Which is fair if you apologize for it in high school, but if you've never apologized for it ever, fuck you, Erica.
Yeah. Yep. And then we get a very brief scene of Jeff picking up Amanda and he's like kissing Babs. And did you see like a younger brother or something in the background?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a younger brother.
Okay.
I feel like Kramer has more chemistry with Babs than he does with Amanda.
I feel like I alluded to that.
Yeah.
He's also driving a Benz this time, but then the Chrysler that was in the first episode is in the background.
Oh, because I think it's Amanda's car.
Maybe, yeah. But still, I was just... Jeff's car. Jeff's car is on my list of mysteries now.
Yeah, I think they took Amanda's car.
Aha, okay. Makes sense. So then we go to... We are in Southampton. Woo! The rental house is pretty.
It is pretty.
It looks like a nice rental house. And they get off the bus singing Hava Nagila. Erica is freaking out about her bags, and Joey is carrying a tote bag that says Kissamint, which we will come back to in other episodes. And I got it wrong because I thought that was Amanda's thing. It's not, it's Joey's. So there you go. Over 10 years later, I got something wrong. Ashley doesn't know how to work a thermostat. There's literally only two directions you can turn it, hot or cold.
Are you surprised by this?
No. No, but it was infuriating anyway. And then we should
tell people that I'm not in Ashley's defense in any stretch of the imagination, but it is not a digital thermostat. It's an old school, like dial turning thermostat. So yeah. I'm not surprised it baffled her.
Two directions it can go. Two.
Yeah.
And also I guarantee like all those old houses on Long Island have that. Like there were no Nest thermostats in 2012.
Do you think she's ever adjusted the thermostat in her life before this? Like, that's why she's probably, I'm shocked she could find it.
I know. I just, Helplessness offends me. So then we find out that her spare Louis shopping bag, not the duffel bag, was because she brought all of her own bedding with her. Yes. And she calls her mom immediately to report that there's a stain on the sheets. And I think what she's doing is telling her mom that's inappropriate.
And like, I was confused.
She's giving her mom a demerit over the phone.
At first, I thought it was a stain on the existing sheets on the bed. But no, yeah, it was a stain on the sheets that she brought with her.
Yeah.
Which is weird because the comforter looked like it was brand new. Maybe they just kept the packaging and that's how she travels with it. But
yeah. She doesn't sleep on sheets unless she's at the Ritz.
Yeah. Which is hysterical to me because anytime, like when 2020 or Dateline or whoever it was did that like expose on hotels, it was all of the like fancy 5-star hotels that got the biggest demerits for things being disgusting. And it was really the cheap. Like in terms of like fecal matter on the remotes and like the sheets being, it was all like the Ritz. It was Intercontinental, was all the fancy ones. And the shitty motels, literally motels, and those got much higher cleanliness marks than the fancy hotels.
It's probably because they like bleach the crap out of everything.
Yeah.
They use some industrial cleaner that like, yeah.
But that's why I think it's funny that she's like, I'm not doing it at the Ritz. And I'm like, honey, it doesn't matter how much money you're spending. Like things are still gross. Like calm down.
Yeah, whatever. So then their chef, Justin, arrives because traditionally there is no labor on Shabbat. So Chanel is having the dinner made for them. So they get dressed for dinner. I actually like Erica's dress. It's very of the time, but it's just like a strapless maxi. She looks cute in it.
Actually, I thought all of them looked cute.
Yeah, yeah. And then they do this weird like dance bit in the hallway where they're spraying each other with bug spray and walking through it.
They're spraying bug spray like it's perfume.
Yeah, but they had dinner inside.
I guess because they were going out after?
I guess.
And they wanted time for it to like seep in? I don't know. But I also, you don't put bug spray on like you put on perfume. You don't spray it in the air and walk through it. Like you literally just put it on your skin. I don't, like it was dumb.
Yeah. And Casey arrives outside in a quite fancy Beamer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the wine is flowing.
And Casey has hardcore caught headband disease.
Yeah, it's not good. I forgot. It's not good.
She shows up in a headband.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, I don't, like, have I blocked it out? I don't remember any of my friends running around in headbands in 2012.
I don't remember anyone doing it across the forehead like that. Not here, anyway.
No, like, it definitely was not a DC thing.
No. Mm-mm. I mean, trying to think of, like, what other reality shows. I mean, Vanderpump did it a little bit, like, when they dressed up for Pride and stuff, like, Kristen with her flower crown and whatever, but, like, it was never...
That's a little different. I mean, these girls are, like, all day, every day, headbands all the time, so I don't remember it
being like this.
No, me neither.
But the wine is flowing inside. Chanel lets Casey in. Ashley yells hi. And Casey, God bless her, is carrying a bottle of Skinny Girl Margarita.
As a gift. Yeah, she brought Skinny Girl as a hostess gift. I'm very here for it.
I am too. So Casey really goes out of her way not to even look or say hi, look at or say hello to Erica. It's very awkward from the very beginning. Like, will not even look at her or acknowledge her presence. And then Erica is not sober and immediately kind of heated. And she pulls Chanel aside and says, I'm not going to break bread with you if you won't even say hello to me. It's going
fine.
Well, guys.
Then go sit in your room and pout. Fine by me.
Yeah, it's a little tense, guys. So Chanel tries to make it a good time. And again, we've got more Manischewitz. And so they cover their hair and they pray over the candles. That's what they're going to do anyway. They haven't done it yet. And Erica offers Casey some wine in the kitchen. And Casey doesn't respond, or they edited it to make it look like she doesn't respond. Very hard to tell, because then Joey looks at her and says Chardonnay and sort of points at a bottle of wine, and Casey accepts.
Yeah.
So I assume that was editing, but maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I also find it interesting that there are several of them who look confused by Shabbat.
Why?
I don't know. I thought because of this show, they would be, you know, more in on the Jewish traditions, I guess.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I grew up in a very Jewish area where some people did celebrate Shabbat, but, like, others who never did.
Yeah.
And like wouldn't know the order of the prayers and wouldn't know. I mean, they would know about the challah and stuff. I mean, I think that they were just confused about the order of how you do things. I'm sure they know about Shabbat, but just didn't know the order.
Okay. I thought it was interesting, though, that Ashley doesn't know anything about it. Erica is licking her fingers and trying to calm her, quote, Jufro. And Ashley just says, ew, again. There's nothing that Ashley doesn't find gross, apparently. Chanel blesses the challah. And Joey, very sweetly in her confessional, says, you know, like, I don't celebrate Shabbat, but I'm enjoying watching Chanel, like, do this. Like, she's, Joey seems really invested and, like, she's learning something. It's kind of sweet. So then Erica toasts to Chanel and rambles quite a bit about like what a remarkable person Chanel is. And like, I didn't even write it down. It's very rambly.
Well, I thought the toast was lovely, which was the toast part. So that was lovely. She says a lot of nice stuff about Chanel, but then not about Chanel. She really goes on a ramble about her like journey and meditating and centering, like all of this shit. Which basically, and I would have been fuming if I was Casey too, I think was her being like, I'm a great person. Look at me. I've done all this work. You know, like, I think that's the narrative she was trying to put forth that Casey was not having it. And I guarantee you that this rambling went on for, we only saw it for a minute or two. I bet it went on for a long, long time.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And even her speech about Chanel was nice, but it was a lot. Like, she could have cut it off a few minutes sooner. And she also, at this time, like, the chef comes out and they say, thank you, Justin. And Erica makes a point of saying, like, oh, I hate that name. It's an ex-boyfriend name. And then she makes another joke about, like, ex-boyfriends right off the bat. And I think Casey immediately just, like, curled up into herself. Like, it's not great. So then she's rambling about meditation and all these things. And Casey says, can you be quiet for a minute? That's how she said it.
Yeah.
It was a little aggressive, but she says, can you be quiet for a minute? And then she says, everything coming out of your mouth right now is ridiculous.
Agreed.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous. And then Erica says, well, way to make things uncomfortable. Nothing I said was weird. It was from the heart. So I guess you just don't like me as a person. Well, I guess she doesn't.
Yeah, no.
And so they say that they can talk after dinner. And Erica really, like, she's not sober, and it wasn't nice the way that Casey says it, but then she really starts to, like, melt down and say, like, don't tell me to shut my mouth. Don't tell me to do this. She didn't tell you to shut your mouth. She asked if you could be quiet for a minute. Like, you were rambling, and you were dominating conversation. Not saying she said it in the nicest way possible, but that's not what she said. So Erica starts crying and leaves the table.
She goes out back to call Rob
and
to smoke, which I respect, except she was holding the cigarette with her teeth, which is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Not acceptable. And she's gone full raccoon, full raccoon. Her eye makeup has gone full raccoon. She looks a mess, a mess.
And where I hard disagree with Chanel and Ashley and Joey inside, telling Casey that she needs to talk to Erica, no. Mm-mm. No. There is hours of drinking that are separating these two perspectives, in addition to the history that is separating these two perspectives. Bad idea. No, no, no. Erica cannot have a logical conversation right now. No,
she cannot. And I love that they seem to also think that they're going to talk and this will be squashed in like 2 seconds flat.
No, it clearly won't. And now Casey's at the table and she's crying and she says, I just can't do it. I can't sit with Erica. And that was so wrong of me to say that here. But she is crumbling to tears just being around this girl.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad. And so then Erica feels uncomfortable. She doesn't want to go back inside. Joey goes outside to check on Erica. And Joey is trying a little bit. And says, you know, I understand Casey's position. It's really bad timing. You know, I think you're going to have to try to be the bigger woman with it. But Erica can't hear that right now either.
No.
None of this is going well. This trip is going down in flames from the very first meal. And so then Erica says, who do you think you are, you little baby? No wonder your boyfriend left you. No one talks to me like that. I don't care if I fucked your boyfriend 5 times.
Exactly.
She doesn't say that to
fucking monster.
And to clarify, she doesn't say that to Casey's face. She says that by the pool, and Casey's
But it just goes to show you she has no remorse. She does not feel bad about what she did. In fact, she's quite proud of it. So fuck you, Erica. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I think we're, I'm going to have a hard time waiting to watch this until we record again, because I got very excited in the scenes from the next where Casey says to her, I want to punch you in the fucking face. And I was like, me too. And I hope she does it.
I was actually, compared to the Casey we saw, who can't even look her in the eye and was sobbing and so sad, when she said that, I was kind of like, oh, there, she's found another gear. There it is. Yeah.
So we get that next week. We also get Erica having way too much to drink and Casey alluding to the fact that Erica has an alcohol problem and she has issues being around people who have alcohol problems.
Yeah.
Which just is also interesting since she works in a bar, but.
Yeah. A lot of layers to this.
Yeah.
I was going to say friendship. It's not a friendship, but a lot of layers to this rivalry.
Friend group.
Yeah. There we go.
But yes, I'm very excited for next week. The show is very delivering on all levels. I'm here for it. Yeah.
Me too.
Definitely. All right. Well, we hope you guys have an amazing rest of your day. We will be coming back to you soon with episode 3.
Thanks for listening to another episode of One Hit Wonderful.
You can find us online on Twitter and Instagram at One Hit Pod. You can email us at franklymareb@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nana's Mink.
And you can find me on Twitter at Hey It's Mare B.
Please remember to rate and subscribe. And have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you soon.